2 weeks ago, we covered Proverbs chapter 21. You could take your Bibles and turn to 22 because we'll be in Proverbs chapter 22 tonight. And what we talked about was the sovereignty of God, that God, no matter how bad things look to us, God is still in control. Verses 1 and 3, we see the sovereignty of God. Verse 1, that He has the king's heart in His hand and over the heart of the nation. He has control over the heart of individuals. We just need to respond to Him. And then His standard to follow Him. Then in verses 4 through 8, we see the ruin of man or the sinfulness of man. You know, there's a gradual decline that leads to a sinful life. It starts with a bad attitude towards God, not respecting Him and not reverencing Him. It continues with bad thinking, thinking that I can get away with it, thinking that no one will matter, thinking that no one will care. It continues with bad actions, and then it consummates with a bad life. And in verses 9 through 13, we see the setting of wickedness. We see the need that we need to stay away from that. You know, how can a man bring fire to his bosom and what? Not get burned. Don't play around. Don't play on the edges. Stay in the middle of truth. Stay away from evil. Okay, we're supposed to turn away. We're supposed to be holy. Verses 11 through 13, we need to stay aware. And then we need to live by His standard. Then in verses 14 through 15, the satisfaction of right actions. Right actions will bring two things in your life. It will bring peace. It will bring peace because you know you're doing the right thing for the right reason. And then the last thing is, it'll bring joy. If you know you're doing the right thing, the right reason, you know you're accomplishing something that has eternal consequences. So, as we go on, in verses 16 through 19, we see the slide of wrong actions. You know how you get backslidden? You deviate from the path. You don't listen to the small voice. This is the way. Walk ye in it. You turn off to the right or the left where God says, no, you need to go on the straight and narrow way. That leads to bad desires. Everyone sins when he's drawn upon a way of his own what? Lust and enticed. And then it will lead to defeat. In verses 20 through 23, we see the situation of the righteous. When you're doing what God wants you to do, there will be ample supply for your needs. We talked about that Sunday night with God's first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these needs, all these things will be added unto you. There is ample solace or comfort in the situation of the righteous. There is ample strength in the righteous. There is ample salvation in the righteous. You know, we are saved. We have a position in heaven right now. Christ has gone and prepared a place for us. But you know, we're supposed to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're supposed to show that we are saved day by day. And that gives us proof. We're supposed to add to our faith all these things and not let them slip so we don't forget who we are. In verses 24 through 29, we see the situation of the wicked. They are scorning. They are slothful. And they're sanctimonious. They think even when they know they're wrong, they think they're right. And that's today, isn't it? There's a lot of people. They're wrong. They're wrong by God's standard. They're wrong by man's standard. But then they still think that they're what? They're correct and they're right. And then lastly, the superiority of God in all things. He is superior in wisdom. If you lack wisdom, get it from God. And then lastly, He is superior in strength. So we see in chapter 21, the sovereignty of God, that God is in control. Chapter 22 takes us into another section of this contrast between righteousness and evil, or how to live righteously, or how to, you know, what happens when you're living wickedly. And so tonight I want to point out some lessons to live by in Proverbs chapter 22. And the real issue is we can never stop learning. If you think you have arrived, you think you know it all, you don't know much. The first thing you don't know is that you don't know it all. Okay, that's the first thing. And then you need to learn always more. So in way of introduction in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 14 through 17, Paul writes to Timothy and says this. He says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." All the way through the book of Proverbs, we have learned what God's standard is. We've learned what wisdom is. We've learned what knowledge is. We've learned what understanding is. We learn what righteousness is. We know the path to go in and the path to avoid. In verse 15 it says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." See, there's only one way that you can really understand the Bible, and that's by having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I find it interesting that we need, well, the Christian's life is just like our physical life. We're born into the kingdom, and then we need to grow in grace and grow in strength and grow in all these things. And then a very familiar verse is the Awana verse. Okay? That all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, what we believe, for reproof, to show people when they are wrong, for correction, to be corrected when we are wrong, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto what? Where's that word? All good works. Folks, if your motivation is not godly, it's not a good work. If your motivation is not to do what the Bible says, it's not a good work. And it says here that the man of God or the woman of God may be perfect or complete, and that you're thoroughly furnished unto good works. So that is the way we're going to look at this tonight. The first point I want to make is in verses 1 through 6 that everything we do should be for God. We should be all in for God. We should be all in for God in our reputation. Being a Christian and being Christ-like is the highest calling we could ever have. And in verse 1, it says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." If you read through the reign of David, David had these mighty men. There were three that was over top of them, then there was another 30 behind that, and they were all listed. Those men gave up everything to be with King David. Those men did valiant things, and they did it by the power of God, for the glory of God, to show that God is real. They didn't care what danger they went in. They didn't care what the odds were for them or against them. They didn't care about any of that stuff. They wanted to serve God. They wanted their reputation. Folks, it's about time that we consider our reputation with God. It's about time that we consider our reputation to a lost and dying world. And when people see you, how do they see you? Do they see you as someone as godly? Or do they see you as just motivated by the same thing that the world is motivated by? It says here that and good is italicized. It's what the translators put in there. There's no word for that. A name is rather to be chosen than great riches. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Folks, the highest compliment that we could get is that we're like Christ. And we should be his disciple. And they should know that we are His disciples because we love one another. Folks, all for God means, as John said, I must decrease and He must increase. So we need to be all in for God in reputation. We need to be all in for God in respect. This is not the respect that we get, but the respect that we give. The respect that we give for God. This is the fear of the Lord. You go back to Proverbs 1:7, and we can see all the things about the fear of the Lord. But in verses 2 through 4, it says, the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is maker of them all. You know, we all come in the same, and in God's eyes, we are all the same. God is not impressed with riches. God is not put off by being poor. He's the creator of all. And He sent His Son to die for all. And you don't get any special privilege with God except through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we have a home in heaven. We're joint heirs with Christ. But as far as what we are, we're like filthy rags. And we're not righteous. We all fall short. But by the grace of God, there go I. We're just sinners saved by grace. And that's what the problem with Israel. Israel thought because they were Abraham's seed and because Abraham had those promises made to them that they were better than anybody else. And they weren't. In fact, they were more wicked than other people. And then even when Christ was going through His ministry and He was doing great things in Galilee, there were cities that should have welcomed Him with open arms and then do it. Because they thought they were better than Christ. Oh, folks, we need a humble spirit. And one way to respect God is to start out with a humble spirit. You know, a right heart, a clean heart is the start. Verse 3, it says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. You know, really? Common sense says when you see trouble coming, you don't walk into it. You know, if there's a bear trap laying on the ground, you don't go over and play with it. What do? You avoid it. But you know what we do? We sit there, we look at it, and then you start thinking, I wonder if I could put my hand down in there and not get trapped. Well, Ricky, you do this? No, okay. I wonder how close or how I could just kind of maybe touch it and not set that thing off. The prudent person would walk away. That bear trap's there for a reason. There's bears out there. You're not a bear. Don't make it a man trap. Okay? Walk away. Walk away. A prudent man, someone has a common sense, someone has understanding, someone has a knowledge of God, says when he sees something evil, don't go there. Yeah. If it's not in alignment with God, if Christ wouldn't go there, don't go there. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, because that's how you show the fear of God. That's how you're in all in for God. But the simple or the foolish and they get their arm whacked off. Okay? But the simple pass on and are punished. Folks, God gave us His Word for a reason, to use it. God gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us. We need to follow it. You need to follow it. And then number 4, or verse 4, says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches. Better to be poor in the world, but rich towards God, than rich in the world and poor. Remember the church at Laodicea? You say, I'm rich, but thou art what? Poor and wretched and miserable and blind. But humility is and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. So, when you give all for God, you get all from God. You'll get riches. He knows what you need. Not necessarily what you want, but what you need. He knows he will be honored when he's honored when we glorify him. And then, you know, I don't care how much I earn down here. I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," when I get up there. And life. You know, we need to live our lives down here as if we have eternal life already. Which we do. Which we do. So, we need to be all for God in reputation. We need to be all for God in respect. We need to be all for God in road or the way. Okay? I'm trying to get all my R's here. Okay? And it works. It says, thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. Now, how many of you like walking through a briar patch? Don't see any hands. Obviously, you don't like walking through a briar patch. We don't really like, and then if you had long pants, that would be better. But some people walk through a briar patch in shorts. I don't understand why I have all these welts and all these marks on my legs. I don't understand why my life's not going well when I'm in the briar patch, when I'm in the thorns, and I'm in snares. Thorns and snares are in the way of the forward whose mind's not in tune with God. He that doth keep his soul shall what? Be far from who? Them. The thorns and the snares. Quit trying to play around with the world. Come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. We're losing that in the modern church. We're losing that in our country. We're losing all those things. So, are you all for God in reputation? Are you all for God in respect? Are you all for God in your way? Are you all for God in regard? In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, a very familiar verse, train up a child in the way he should go. Okay. There's only one way that he should go, and that's God's way. Parents, your responsibility, and the Lord tells Malachi the same thing. He says that your purpose is to raise what? Godly seed, godly kids. Parents, our job is to train up a child in the way of God. We talked about this Sunday night. We need to be an example. For you to train someone in the way, you need to know the way. For you to train someone in the way, you need to be walking the way. To train up someone in the way, you need to be involved in his way or her way. Too many parents let the school be the parent. Even fewer let the church be their parent when they should be the parent. I'm challenging you tonight, parents. No matter how old your kids are, you need to set a godly example. And when they bring something to you, you need to have a godly answer. And you need to talk about the consequences of going the wrong way and the blessings of going the right way. See, if you train up the child, the whole purpose here is, if you start where they're young, they'll remember it. They learn how to walk by watching you. They learn how to talk by listening to you. And we need to start from the time. I love it when I see a young couple with, and she's pregnant, and they're actually praying over their child in the womb. That's when it needs to start. And if you effectively train them, they'll go the right way. Okay? And if they stray the wrong way, they will likely come back. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will what? Not depart from it. Folks, our lives, it's not like the Amish that does that, whatever that Rafskeller thing. And they go out and they have their night, and then they come back, then they make their commitment to God. This is not like Mardi Gras. This is not like this at all. You don't determine what's right and wrong. We do God's word. And it says it's wrong all the time. It says it's right all the time. And it doesn't change. Don't go out and sow your wild oats. I've met so many people, had so many young people when we were youth directors. So I'll go out and do my own thing. God still loves me. Well, that's true, but he hates your sin. And there will be a negative consequence for doing the wrong thing. Train up a child in the way he should go, and the implication of this verse is that when he's old, he'll still stay in the path. And pray for your kids. Pray for your kids. So, all for God, in reputation and respect, in the way and also in regard. Then verses 7 through 12, we see that all things have consequences. There's a lot of people today think that they can say anything, there's no consequence. To do anything, there's no consequence. All events have consequences. Verse 22, I'm going to ask this question. Who rules your life? Who rules your life? You know, one of the big problems in America today is everyone's in debt to their eyeballs. It's not the way God wants it. Right here. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is what? Slave to the lender. Because if you don't pay, they come and get your stuff. So the first question is who rules your life? Does God rule it? God says you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and the love of money. Can't do it. God gives you the money so you can serve him. The second thing is, and we need to look at this every day, what kind of crop are we growing? And it's based on the seed. You don't throw out corn and get wheat. You don't throw out grape seed and get apples. You get what you sow. In verses 8 and 9 it says, he that soweth iniquity shall reap holiness. Is that what it says? No. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. What does vanity mean? It's worthless towards God. And it does you no good in the process. So he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. Even though he tries to hang on, even though he tries to do everything he can, it's going to fall short. But he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. What does that mean? Well, John talks about it. He says, if you know that you have someone that's in need and you hold it back, how does the love of God dwell in you? So as you have his opportunity, let us do good, especially to what? Those of the household of faith. Galatians 6:11. So are we looking with a bountiful eye? Or are we saying, he's not getting some of mine? What kind of life is that? Christ gave up everything for you. And why do we have the right to hold something back when God's putting it on our heart to do something for them? He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. See, my God, who takes fishes and loaves and feeds thousands of people, can do the same thing today. He's the same God. So the question is this morning or tonight, who rules your life? What crop are you growing? And then what do you tolerate in your life? What do you tolerate watching on TV? What do you tolerate listening to on the radio? What do you tolerate your friends or your acquaintances? What do you tolerate in this? Look at verse 10. It says, cast out the scorner, and contentions shall go out. Bible says this, evil communications corrupt what? Good manners. Peter writes, don't run with them. Don't run with them. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Why would you just want some? You know, have you ever had people just around you? All they do is complain. All they do is they bring trouble and they argue. You don't want to be around them, do you? It says, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Folks, you can't have peace in your life. You can't have peace in the church when you're having strife and contention and scorning in the church or in your life or around your life. And if you're sitting there tolerating it, you're going to get what you want. You're going to get this stuff. Next, what is the love of your heart? Verse 11, he that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. See, what do you want first? A reputation. How do you get that for respect from God? How do you do that? By holding him in regard and being on the right way. And then the issue is that you'll start seeing things from God's perspective. What is the love of your heart? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As your heart, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. See, if you have a pure heart, if you have an inside that's clean, the outside will be clean. And then the next thing is, what does God see in you? It says, the eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge. Now, this also talks about the sovereignty of God. Truth is truth no matter what you think it is. It's still truth. Okay? And it says, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. So, do you want to be constantly reproved? Or do you want to walk in biblical doctrine? There's a consequence for each. So all things have consequences. Who rules your life? What crop are you growing in your life? What or who do you tolerate in your life? And shouldn't get rid of that stuff? What is the love of your heart? And what does God see in you? You know, anymore, we get excuses. Get excuses for kids not doing their chores. Why didn't you do this? And you'll get a whole litany of things. Why isn't your homework not done? Well, what happened here? Well, folks, as a Christian, we don't make excuses. We should serve God. So, in verses 13 through 16, here are some excuses that people use not to serve God. Or excuses that people will use that prevent good from happening. First one. I might get hurt. I might get hurt. Says the slothful man saith, there's a lion without. He could be 100 miles away, but he's out there. And I just don't know. Hey, maybe he runs real fast. It says, the slothful man said, there's a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets if I go out there. Therefore, I'm going to do what? Nothing. Quit making excuses about being hurt. or thinking what people are going to say about you. Quit making excuses. God knows He's our deliverer, He's our fortress, He's our strong tower, He's our rock, He's all those things to us. So excuses that prevent good. I might get hurt. And then I listen to what I want to hear or what you're saying I don't want to hear. Either way, it doesn't really matter. And it always involves sin. It says the mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. How does someone entice? Oh, there it is. How does someone get you to do wrong? They entice you. They say something that you know is wrong, but you accept as truth. It says, the mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Folks, when it comes to physical purity and sexual purity, it's a big deal. It's written all through the Bible. This is how you destroy your testimony, okay? Because they'll tell you exactly what you want to hear, so you go with them and you do the wrong thing. Men, don't give compliments to anyone or the ones, don't give compliments that you will only give to your wife. Ladies, don't give compliments to anyone that you would only give to your husband. Get in trouble. People like hearing that. And it causes pastors to fall. Evangelists to fall. And us to fall. I can't help myself. I just can't stop. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And folks, when we say I can't stop, we're acting childish. We're not acting as mature Christians. It says, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You know what Christ said? He said, if your eye offend thee, pluck it out. If your hand offend thee, chop it off. Get rid of all that stuff. I would rather go into heaven maimed than be under the control of that. Folks, sometimes in our lives, to get rid of the sin and the foolishness in our life, it takes drastic action. And don't let your child reason you out. Or don't think, well, it's going to hurt him, it's going to damage him. No. Good, strong discipline is what kids need. They need discipline. Because they don't know boundaries. But you know something? If you don't teach them boundaries as kids, they know less boundaries when they're adults. And you see what's going on in society today. The consequences of doing good or evil. Can't help myself. The last one, I just can't get enough. You drive your life, not God. You know, the issue is we should not be able to get, we should have an opinion or a want to get more of God. I just can't get enough of God and I want more. But that's not what the proverb is talking about. His, he that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches. It won't hurt them, they're already poor. That's a sad excuse. He that oppresseth the poor to increase whose riches? His. Okay? And he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to what? Want. Folks, what's your associations? Watch how you treat people. Okay? It's not about you. It's about God. So excuses that prevent good. I might get hurt. Or there's danger out there. Unfortunately, this pandemic has caused a lot of people to fall by the wayside because they're using the thing that they can't see to not come to church. I listen to what I want to hear because it sounds good to me. I can't help myself. I can't get enough. I can't get enough. Verses 17 through 19, actions that prepare you for good. First of all, don't make excuses. Don't make excuses. Verse 17, you know, first action, gain knowledge. You know, in all these lists of what we're supposed to add in our life, knowledge is always in there. We've seen it over and over again in Proverbs. It says, gain knowledge. Bow down thine ear. Lean into it. Pay attention. Stop and listen. Do all those things. And hear the words of the wise. And then put them in your heart. Apply thy heart unto my knowledge. Now Solomon here in this next section of 70-ish so Proverbs is talking about stuff that he's learned. And he's passing it along to his kids. So unless you know what good is, you can't do good. Unless you know how to do good, you can't do good. So gain knowledge. Secondly, keep that knowledge. In verse 18 it says, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. What? The words of the wise, the words of knowledge, all those things. It's a pleasant thing if thou shalt keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. What do you talk about? Do you talk as the oracles of God? Or do you talk as the oracles of me? See, we need to, in order to do good, you need to gain knowledge so you can figure out what the good is. Then you need to keep knowledge. And then the last one is trust it. Oh, sorry. It's a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, they shall be befitted in their lips. And then the last thing is trust knowledge. Verse 19, it says, that thy trust may be in the Lord. And the way that this phrase is this, in the Lord alone. Nothing else. Okay? That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Tonight, stop making excuses. Gain knowledge. Keep the knowledge. And then trust in the knowledge. Now, in the rest of this chapter, we'll go very quickly here. These are laws to live by. Verses 20 through 21, have no doubt in the power of truth. See, the disciples knew what the truth was, but oftentimes they didn't live it because they didn't believe it. They didn't have faith. And all the time, Christ is going along with his disciples to say, O ye of what? Little faith. You don't have any faith. You need to increase your faith. You need to ask in faith. You need to do all these things in faith. He says, have not I written unto thee excellent things and counsel and knowledge, that I might make thee know the what? And here's the key word. Certainty of the words of truth. Folks, truth is truth the way God says it. Not the way you think it. And it doesn't change. It is certain. It is foundational. It is fundamental. It's something that we can build our house on that stands on a rock. And when the rains come down and the floods come up, the house won't go splat. That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, thou that mayest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. If you never gain knowledge, if you never keep knowledge, If you never trust knowledge, there is no way that you can impart knowledge. If you never know truth, if you never keep truth, if you never trust in truth, you can't be truth. So, have no doubt in the power of truth. Secondly, do not take advantage of the less fortunate. Do not take advantage of the less fortunate. Rob not the poor because he is poor. Neither oppress the afflicted in the gate or the place of judgment. For the Lord will plead their cause. See, if you do these things, you're acting against God. And there's too many people today, they even say that they're Christians and they're doing the wrong thing. By their fruits, ye shall know them. For the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoiled them. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith what? The Lord. So laws to live by. Have no doubt in the power of truth. Do not take advantage of the less fortunate. Do not make friends with the angry. Now that seems to be a simple thing, but we kind of do that at times, don't we? It says, look at this. Now, I'm not making this stuff up. This is God's word. It's right here. It says, make how much friendship?
No
friendship. What should we do? Pray for them. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, thou shalt not go. Why? Lest thou learn his ways and get a what? A snare. Is that bear trap? Is that bear? Go ahead, just put your hand in there and see what happens. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. So, do not make friends with the angry. Fourth, do not entangle yourself financially. We've already seen the earlier things about being in debt, and that's what America's in right now. Everybody's in debt. Very few people are out of debt. You're a slave to that. I have to work on Sunday now to pay my bills. Well, why do you have them in the first place? Do not entangle yourself financially. Be not, here you go again. Be not thou one of them that strikes hands, or of them that are sureties or guarantees for debts that are not your own. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? To an own, his own man by his own righteousness will stand or fall. Okay? That's the whole issue here. So don't make friends with the angry. Don't entangle yourself financially. And here's one I want to pause on just for a second. Don't move borders in your life. You know, for everyone that has a house and has property, there's little stakes that basically shows where your property line is. Back in the day, they used boulders. And then when someone got sick or died, they go out there and they move the pile of rocks over, gain a little bit of stuff. Verse that we've heard of before, remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. Folks, there's a lot of landmarks that have been moved around. You know why? Because they say there is no truth. But I have some landmarks. There is a God. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. But I can show you from this word, I can show you from the world we live in, there is a God. The second thing is, what is sin? Is sin. what God's Word says is absolute truth. If it doesn't agree with God's Word, it's wrong. No matter what you think about it, no matter how many excuses you come up about it, it's wrong. There is a heaven. There is a hell, and it's not here on earth now. And there is a Savior. But I'm also saying this. There is marriage the way God defined it. And I agree with what Ronnie said Saturday night. Abortion is murder. Those are truths. And don't move the landmark and say, well, it's okay. The Pope said today that same-sex unions, civil unions, are okay. Because you need some structure in your life. No, you need righteousness of God in your life. And the way God made you is the way He wants you to be. And you don't change who you think you are because you feel that way. Because He is the Creator. Don't move the ancient landmarks. How do we get so smart that everything that we've been doing for eons is wrong? Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. And then lastly, follow a good example. In verse 29 it says, seest thou a man diligent in his business? Folks, all of our business should be about God. It should be all for God. Seest thou a man diligent in his business, which means he works at it. He doesn't take shortcuts. Does what God tells him to do because he wants to glorify God, or she wants to glorify God in that. He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before what? Mean men. Folks, we have a choice. We have a choice. We have a choice to follow, to live by these lessons, or we have a choice to reject them. God gives us a choice. But I will say there will be negative consequences for negative actions and positive consequences for positive actions. You don't get good out of wrong. And there won't be wrong out of good. Amen? And so we need to live good. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, just ask You as time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts and help us, Lord, to follow You with all of our heart. Help us, Lord, to live the right way and avoid the wrong way. Help us, Lord, not to make excuses, Lord, but to do things to accept You and to follow You. Lord, help us tonight. We're a needy people. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.